Amen, amen, amen. Well, thanks for all that are here tonight and those that are listening around the world and through our website. If you're listening, it's not by accident. There's a message here for you, and I want you to be able to grab hold of what is being said. I've been speaking about the promise of God, and our whole basis of our ministry is really for you to know God and to be able to understand who, and I want to say my God is. And I said and made comments that God doesn't exist until you invite him or until you allow him to exist in your life by faith. Well, it's the same thing as, how should I put this? The negative areas in our lives, because we always look at God as a positive area of our life, right? Would you agree with me on that one? God is a positive point in our lives. Most people come to God because of the fact that they're, you know, in desperate, dire need of help. That's a good reason to come to God, but that's not the only reason to come to God. We need God because of the world that we live in. Now, I'm not talking about the carnal world we're living in. I'm talking about the spiritual world that we live in. How many of us here know that we live in a spiritual world? Awesome. Good. Most people believe that we are just here in a carnal world, and we're so focused on the world that we see and our senses of smell, taste, touch, feel, those kind of things. But there is a world, and especially when we're seeking God and looking for help, that there's a world that we have to understand, and that's the spiritual world. Now, I speak about God and how he has set his laws in our heart. There's promises. I have a scripture verse here that I want to read real quick. And it says here in 1 Corinthians, I want to say 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16. It says, "Do you not know that you are a temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwells in you?" That right there in itself goes to show you that we're living in a spiritual world. So we're a temple of God, and the Spirit of God dwells in us. But there's another part of this scripture verse. It says, "If anyone defiles the temple of God, God will destroy him, for the temple of God is holy. Which temple are you?" Now, we're asking a choice here. Are you a temple that allows God to dwell inside of you, or are you a temple that something else dwells inside? Now, in verse 18, it says, "Let no one deceive himself. If anyone among you seems to be wise in this age, let him become a fool that he may become wise." Now, this is the message that I want to emphasize on. Don't let anyone deceive you. And if you think you're going to be wise, be a fool so that you will be able to know wisdom, so to say. It says, "Let him become a fool that he may become wise," and he'll understand wisdom. Because God and the realm of the Spirit, not the carnal world, but the spiritual world, pretty much goes opposite of what you think. And to understand the truth will set you free. And that's what we want to become, free. And then the question, what temple are you? Is God dwelling inside of you, or is something else dwelling inside? And one of the things that he said shortly after that was, don't let anyone deceive you. Now, I want to speak on that particular message. Don't let anyone deceive you. Now, there are many, many powers, principalities, wickedness, and darkness in high places that we can't see in this world, but it's around us. And it walks around looking to deceive you all the time. It speaks to you and causes you to be thinking a certain way to where you think you're wise. How many people have ever tried to, BS a BSer? You cannot be deceived and listen to the deceiver and then try to deceive others. And the one thing that I want to emphasize on is yourself right now. And then we'll talk about how to become a fool so that you can become wise. Has anyone ever tried to pull the wool over somebody, play a trick on them, you know, kind of deceive them in a certain way, to lead them to believe, manipulate, all those things? Well, that's a manifestation of a power. And the one verse said, "And what temple are you?" When we house these things inside of us, we become a deceiver. And then our thoughts become a deceiver. And then we become lost. 99.9% of the oppression that we carry and the depression that we house is all because of deception. Because of a power that is from an above that you can't see, that is in the realm of the spirit, that causes us to be fooled. But God wants us to become the fool to understand wisdom. And I'll share what I mean by that in a moment. So we become wise in this deception. Let's take the very beginning. People understand that one story about Adam and Eve, where Eve took the apple and ate the apple. But the deceiver deceived her in making her think everything was okay. And through her being deceived, she ended up doing what? Deceiving someone else to eat the apple when it was clearly told not to eat it. So what happened was, for one, she became a temple for the deceiver. And then through her, the deceiver was able to manifest to deceive others. And she actually was wise in her own thoughts, thinking that she can pull the wool and fool someone and deceive them. And this is where God wants to put an end to this. And that's why I'm speaking this stuff now, because I believe that there are others out there that are listening that are thinking that they're wise, but in reality, they're a fool in God's eyes, and they're just nothing more than housing in themselves a deceiver in their own temple. And who are they fooling? They're only fooling themselves. And the shame of it is if the deceiver continues to keep deceiving you, the job of a deceiver is to kill, steal, and destroy your life. And you're going to come up with all kinds of lies and all kinds of scenarios, and even to the point that they'll put ailments and sicknesses and diseases on you. Now, how many of us have ever reached the point where we've made ourselves sick over something? Worrying, getting all upset. Is there anybody else that's been like that before? So, okay, we all have it at some point or another. Couldn't sleep. They're all manifestations of a deceiver. Somehow along the line, the deceiver came in and began to speak to you in the sense of lies because of the fact that we don't know the future. And 99.9% of the time, the lies predict the future. And then we create these deceptions that cause us to be sick. Okay, So now what happens to us? We try to battle this sickness by being clever or deceptive in trying to fool somebody else to manipulate our way of trying to get out of it. How many people follow me on this one? Okay, so let's pretend, or let's just say that all of a sudden, you know, we have this thought of possibly losing our job or something. And then we go in there to try to deceive or bring deception, and we become extra nice, or we, you know, do something that is not the norm to manipulate or try to create and overcome what has been deceived to us. And so we try to deceive others in saving ourselves, so to say. And the reality of it is, it only brings further destruction. And has anyone been in a place where you knew somebody was just lying to you, you smelled it, you just knew that someone was trying to pull the wool over your eyes? They were pretending, they were faking, they were just coming to a place where you just knew it. Has anyone ever experienced that before out of an individual? They were coming across one way, real sincere and everything, but yet you were just like, no way. Something's wrong. They're lying. They're lying to me. I know they're lying. I can smell it. Have you ever felt that way? Okay. Well, that is the Spirit of God within you who is trying to show you the deceiver. Don't doubt that. That's a gift. So hold on to it, because even the deceiver will lie right to your face. They'll lie to you and lie to you and lie to you until somehow or another they're exposed. And even when they're exposed, they still lie. Here's a perfect example. I use drugs and alcohol a lot because it's a form of addiction. And most times when a deceiver enters in and you receive deception, it becomes an addiction. You never want to accept the fact, because of the pride of man, never wants to accept the fact that they've been deceived. I want you to try to follow me on this. And so what happens is we defend ourselves. So it's almost like we stick up for the deceiver. Well, let's take a person who is addicted to drugs. And they're, for one, they took it just like Eve took the apple. You know, the deceiver comes in and says, oh, the apple's not going to hurt you. What's one hit? What's one shot? What's one whatever? You know, it's going to be okay. You need it. You got to have it. You'll be all right. And then next thing you know, you take it. And then the deceiver says, oh, you need more, you know, you got to keep taking it. Then all of a sudden, you become addicted. Now someone sees your manifestations, and they say, you're addicted. And they're like, nah, I'm not addicted. No, I need this. I'm in a lot of pain. You don't understand. They begin to become literally wise in their own way. And God is saying, become a fool. Where that's where foolishness is. We become honest. We fight the deceiver and become honest. And we also become humble in our humility. And we come to a place of breaking in our humility. And this is how you break away from deception, from the deceiver. Pride tends to draw the deceiver to you. And then you build a tabernacle. You build a house for the deceiver to live in. And God wants us to turn around and build a house where he can dwell in. But we have to break away from the deceiver. And the way to break away from the deceiver is we need to become truthful to ourselves and literally become humble. And as we become humble and accept the truth, we break the powers of deception. And this is what it means to become a fool. Because the world doesn't want you to become humble. Think about it. Does the world wants you to keep that pride. Not me. I never make mistakes. Not me. I'm innocent. Well, when we come to a place of accepting that we made mistakes, accept the fact and live a humble life, we'll never allow the deception or the deceiver to come in. I'm speaking this message because I believe that there is some deception, and it's coming into this power of principality and wickedness is coming in to the people who are really trying to seek God. Sometimes they begin to take on the cloak of righteousness, and they put on this sense of righteousness where they deceive themselves as being a good person, when in reality, even, you know, this guy in the book here, Jesus, he said, there's no one good but my Father. So deception is a powerful thing. The deceiver, powers and principalities are very powerful too. And we have to be on guard all the time to make sure that we're not deceived as we begin to our spiritual walk. Denial is probably the worst thing that anybody can ever fall under. It's like a trap. And we have to come to the point of expressing the truth. I always share with people and I say to them, express yourself. Don't bottle it in. If you're afraid to express yourself, then you're already inviting the spirit of deception to come in. You're already looking to deceive others by not letting them really know how things are going or how you really feel. And if there's any way that we can stop this power, this principality to start entering into our lives, this is the way to start. Become truthful and honest with yourself, and then you'll be able to fight the power of deception. And then fall into deception, where if you fall into deception, then it becomes like an addiction. You can't admit, and you can't come to a place of humility. You can't humble yourself. You can't come to a place in your life. And what happens is the pride begins to build up, and then you build up wisdom, but the wisdom of the world. You project yourself as wise. And in the eyes of people who know the truth, people who are humble and honest, they can smell that. They can see it. They know when you're blowing smoke, like can't BS a BSer kind of thing. You know, you have this sense that you know that they're full of it. But yet, they'll swear up and down, and lie to you. Have you ever come across individuals like that? And it's almost to the point where your heart wants to be ripped out. Like, are you kidding me? Are you serious? Are you truly giving me this nonsense and I'm supposed to believe it? And those individuals, it's instructive for us to walk away from them. Don't associate yourself with them. Walk away from them because they're just deceivers. They're just going to deceive you and cause more issues and problems in your life. So I know that there are individuals out there, and they may be here today, that are looking for a stronger relationship with God, with the spirit of, I want to say, the God of the universe, our God, the creator of the heavens and the earth. Not religion, Not do's and don'ts, rights and wrongs, because we understand, I hope we're starting to hear and understand, that the law is really written in our hearts, and our hearts are the ones that are instructing us to live. But if a part of deception comes in, if the deceiver, who is a spirit that is a strong power, principality, comes in, a little leaven spoils a whole bunch. And so when that deception starts to come in, it starts rotting the core of what you're looking for. You're looking to find truth, right? You're looking to find a life. You're looking to find your journey. What is my purpose? You know, what am I here for? But then deception comes in. It wants to kill. It wants to steal, and it wants to destroy your life. And these powers are real. These powers exist. Just as much as God exists. The strange thing is it seems like it's hard for us to embrace God. Why? I don't understand. I guess because of truth. And yet it's so easy to embrace deception and lies. How many of you would understand what I'm saying on this one? It hits us in the head all the time. You wake up right away. Oh, it'll never work. Oh, it'll never. Isn't that a lie? How do we know what the future is going to bring? Oh, it'll never be right. Oh, it's this. Oh, it's that. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. And we come up to worry. We battle fears. Let's just look at it this way. Today, how many of us battled somewhat of some fear? Okay. And how many did we battle on just worry? Just a little bit of worry. These things are constantly attacking us, aren't they? We can't get away from them. That's why I'm showing you how much this power is existent. Now, there's a greater power, and that greater power that I'm talking about is God. But that greater power doesn't exist until you begin to start fighting the deception power, the one that's causing you to worry, the one that's causing you to fear, the one that is creating these imaginations, because I guarantee what you were worrying about and what you were fearing about was pure imagination. It didn't even really exist. You were creating it in one aspect or another. And then this is how deception works. Well, you don't know what's going on. You don't understand what's happening. I only have this much in my bank, or I only have this much time left for this, or I have this I have to meet. But we're still creating, even though that they might be facts to you. Yeah, you only got that much money in the bank. Yeah, you only have that much time. Yeah, you still have to face that and address it. Yes. They are facts. But this is where, you know, we have to become a fool to have wisdom. We don't know what's going to happen in 20 minutes. We don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. There could be some incredible, wonderful things go our way in favor because there is a power. The God that I'm trying to bring across to everyone out there. But who are they worshiping more? What tabernacle do we have? There's a tabernacle of God and the Spirit of God dwells in, and that's who we are. But then we were questioned, what tabernacle are you? If we continue to allow the spirit of deception to come in and we don't learn how to tear down the imaginations that we create all the time. If we don't overcome this, we actually become fool in God's eyes because we try to bring off wisdom to infiltrate what is happening on the deception of darkness. How many of you are following me here? It's very important to grab hold of what I'm trying to say, because there's a verse that says, the kingdom of God suffers violence, and the violence is taking it by force. Well, this is exactly what I'm trying to say. The violence of the spiritual world, of principalities and powers and wickedness and darkness, are choking and killing and stealing and destroying the lives of God's people. And I'm up here speaking to God's people. If you're listening, you're a child of God. We are being destroyed because we're allowing this deception to house in the tabernacle of God. That's why that scripture verse that I read earlier was questioning us. What tabernacle are you? And we have to ask ourselves. And then we end up deceiving ourselves because we try to play it off and be wise in our own lives. And then we just look real bad in God's eyes. So we need to really humble ourselves, because humility is what really brings the power of God, I would say, so that deception loses its power and it cannot force its power on you. When that power starts coming upon us and we begin to feed it and entertain it, it begins to take over on us, and we begin to happen just like that. Remember I mentioned about the drug addict who was like, I'm not a drug addict, I'm okay, you know, and they can't even slur, they're slurring their words and everything else, and they don't see themselves in that form of addiction. Well, that's what happens when this power and principality starts taking over. We can't see ourselves in this state, and we actually look like a real fool in those that have the eyes of truth, so to say. So, to end this message, because I was already told that I only have so many hours of the night to speak because of our budget, but we're going to hopefully up our Vimeo, and then we won't have to worry about if I run longer than a half hour or 40 minutes or what have you. And those that are listening, if they want to hit the PayPal button, please donate to this ministry through our website, glorytothenations.org, so that we can speak more and I can tell you more about what is happening in the realm of the Spirit. But closing tonight, I want us to really understand the powers that are literally out to destroy your life. And they create imaginations. And I want to call it the spirit of deception tonight. A deceiving spirit that will lie to you so bad, it will bring sickness to you. It'll take your breath away. It will torment you and put you in places of like the hospital, things of that nature. It'll cause divorce in your relationships. It'll cause havoc in your life. You'll break away friendships and stuff like that. It's the most ugliest thing that anyone could begin to start possessing. The sad thing about it is a little bit begins to create in you a form of wisdom. But not godly wisdom, because in the spirit, God looks at you as a fool. But in the world, you project yourself as wise. And in that, it just creates more destruction. There's manipulation that begins to occur. You lie more. and it just gets real ugly on your behalf. And it creeps in little by little by little by little. And so I want to encourage everyone out there to take on that humility and be honest and truthful. Don't deny. Don't shove anything under the carpet. Confess it. Be as open and transparent as you possibly can. If anybody says, "How you doing?" and you're having a horrible day, don't say good. You say, "Well, you know what? It's horrible. I'm going to get through it, but it's horrible." That's how it begins. Soon as we begin to give a little bit of deception, that deception starts taking over more and more and more. Well, why can't we tell someone that we're having a bad day? What's manifesting, right? Pride. We don't want anybody to know that we're having a bad day. I want you to see how this little thing starts. It's a bad, bad power. It starts out as darkness. And then it goes to a level of wickedness. And then it goes to a level of power. And then it goes to a level of principality. When it goes to a level of principality, it's almost a point of possession. And yep, you're cooked. And when it hits to the point of possession, this is where God comes up and says, "I've turned you over because of a debased mind." When you're turned over because of a debased mind, that's when we should really be shaking in our boots. If there are anyone out there that's listening tonight, don't ever get possessed by the principality of deception to the point where you cannot humble yourself and be honest. It's literally impossible. Do you know individuals like that? Okay, so you know what I'm trying to say then. Okay. You can't talk to them about it. There's nothing. They're always right. They're always right.
Even if you start receiving just a little bit of it, it doesn't last long.
And they run. Come on up here for a second, John. Share to the audience out there exactly what I'm trying to say in the person that you just described to me.
Once that deception comes, and it comes in very, and I have firsthand knowledge of this, the dark forces, when I was up here a couple weeks ago giving my testimony, deception comes, and it's very strong, and it's very subtle, and it comes disguised as an angel of light. It comes like a sheep, a wolf dressed in a sheep's clothing. Mm-hmm. Once it takes root, and I don't know why people,
I don't know why people
receive it or embrace it. I think a lot of it has to do with pride, and they're always right, and that's probably a principality that existed already. So there's more than one principality we're talking about here, but this particular one, once it gets a foothold, it just gets worse. It doesn't get any better. And that's why I tell people, once you come in here and you start receiving the truth, and it, you know, it's got to take root, and you know, it's our job to give the folks the right words, and it really hits them hard. But I always say to them, you know, now that you have a little bit of it, if you turn your back, I don't know anybody that's heard it, received it, where it's gotten any better if they turn their back and will run away. So, you know, when you look at this principality, I mean, I could think of two different people that this principality has taken over, and you can't talk to them. There's no way you can talk to them about it. They're always right, and that's why I said it's virtually impossible to get them out of it. Something, that's where it truly goes, it goes to God. You know, God can only do something in their life so significant where they break down so hard they can't, that they have nowhere to turn to alleviate their emotional pain, really. Nothing, they can't eat, they can't sleep, they can't do anything, they can't talk to other people, they can only turn to God because of what he did to them, whatever it is. And when he gives you up to a debased mind, you know, you're only bringing more on yourself. I think God did that by design, right? You talked about that before. He does things by design. All right, well, he gave you up to a debased mind. Well, you have no idea. You're just like opening the door for the darkness to say, we're going to take him out now. And it just happens. And, you know, I think that's what happens to people. Something so significant happens in their life, you know, because he loves everybody. He doesn't want to give you up completely. You know, what's it say? He'll never leave you or forsake you, right? Mm-hmm. So, you know, when we think about that, you know, I think gives you up to a debased mind. He's just basically saying to you, go ahead and do it your way. Let's see how you make out. And then something so significant happens to their life where they have no choice but to turn to God. And hopefully they break out of it. That's the only thing I could think of.
Amen. Let's give the Lord a hand of praise for John. You know, one of the things, I believe there are some people out there that are listening that are saying to themselves, oh my God, I tend to argue a lot with people. I tend to argue my case because I feel as though that I'm right. And I'm offended all the time. And I'm glad that you brought that point up, because offense usually covers the deception. And they take it personal. But I am saying that if we can just, I want to say the word repent. But not in the part of saying, oh my God, I did something wrong and I'm sorry. I want you to acknowledge that there is a path or a road that is leading it down to destruction. So I want you to be able to be aware of the destructive road that we're going down. And then start changing the way you're thinking. Start coming to a sincere place in your heart and come to a place of humility. Humility will pull you out of deception. When the powers and principalities begin to resonate in humility, they get real shaken up. They freak out and they flee. They start fleeing. They're like, oh, I can't take it. They resonate and hang out with pride. They can't feed on humility. Exactly right. Their food and their power source is pride. And when humility begins to enter the heart of a being, because we're a tabernacle, so what you're doing is you're transforming the house. And you're no longer allowing deception to live in the house, but you're allowing humility to take over, and that becomes a new dwelling place. Well, deception cannot manifest in humility, and it has to flee. And this is the way you become delivered from the powers that are really out to eventually destroy us. And so we need to break down the tabernacle of deception, where it resonates and holds on to pride and feeds off it. So if we can tear down the pride, we're destroying the tabernacle that deception dwells in, and build up humility, and so that God can continue to dwell and work through us in that place of humility. And so tonight, I want us to, or today, whoever, whatever time you're listening to this, I want us to just take that moment, recognize it, and say, you know what? I don't care if it's like, you know, an inch big in your life, if there's any bit of pride and that deception is resonating, just begin to change the way you're thinking. Carry on to humility. And I start out with this. if you're having a bad day, don't say, no, everything's great. This is where it all begins. We need to begin to say, you know what? I'm having a bad day, but, you know, I'll get through it. Yeah, we'll be all right. Everything's going to be all right. So how's this? You know what? It could be better. It's not all that great, but it could be better.
Here, go on up here, John.
I have to say this. Once you bring that humility on, then a peace comes. That's how you know it's real.
Yeah.
Then you don't feel that anxiousness. You don't feel that that tug. That those imaginations go away. Once you truly say, you really calm your heart down to where you're humble and you take some time, then peace comes. And that's how you know that's where God comes.
So we're always on the search for peace. That's our motto. Enter into the kingdom of God, which is righteousness, peace, and joy. And we should always bring in that righteousness, peace, and joy into our heart. So those that are listening now and those that are watching live, humble yourself in the place of God. He'll fight these battles. The imaginations that come, don't take them. Don't believe them. Start tearing them down. Don't worry yourself sick. Don't bring yourself to a place where, you know, you're losing your breath. You have to submit yourself to some place, you know. Seeking help outside of the truth is really causing yourself more pain and aggravation. Just come right to the truth. Right to the truth is your best place of life. He's the truth. God's the truth. Deception is like the worst thing that we can ever fall ourselves into. This principality and power, I want us to begin to be aware of it. And I'm speaking messages on the promise of God, and there's a promise within inside of us. But at the same time, deception is stealing the promises. And it's creating a lot of lies and sickness. And in that, we become a liar. We start manipulating. We start cheating. We start stealing. You know, we start doing all the bad things to try to protect ourselves. And that's all we're trying to do is protect ourselves. And I don't, like, blame anybody out there for trying to protect themselves. But it's leading down a really bad road. And so we got to stop what we're doing and understand that God is ultimately in control. And we got to stop the lies. We got to stop the deception. We got to stop believing the lies that try to enter in. And we got to tear down these imaginations so that we can get on the road, on the right road, and begin to live our lives out in prosperity and watch the miracle signs and wonders come. You know, we're being robbed because we're in deception. We got to get out of deception. We got to believe and trust in God. With all our heart, soul, and mind, we got to believe in God. We got to believe so much. And I know that some of us might be like, yeah, right, okay. And God doesn't exist in your life. And I understand. But you got to start believing so that he does exist. So that he does come into your life. So that he can manifest those things. I know I'm a living example. I'm a living testimony of the power of God. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. So let's give the Lord a hand of praise. I hope I quit on time. God bless.